Based off an air from the Daf Lamed. We're on the bottom of Chavtes Amud Beis, picking up with Amar Rav Anan. Started the ninth parak of the Masechta yesterday. We talked about the sale of properties. It's the final parak of the Masechta, finishing the parak by the end of this week. Mirza Hashem, Shabbos is the last day of the Masechta. So the ninth parak opens up with the sale of houses, sale of fields in Eretz Yisrael B'Shas Yovel, when Yovel applies. So, again, all sales in Eretz Yisrael are not sales, they're really leases. Leasing the property until Yovel, we know that the land is going to go back to its ancestral owner in the Yovel year. So whenever you're making any kind of transaction on a field, so by definition that means that it is not a sale, it's really a lease. The Mishnah gave us the basic rules regarding leasing a property in Eretz Yisrael, and that is that you can buy back the land anytime you want. You can buy back your lease anytime you want. There has to be a 2 year minimum of how long the property stays by the lessee. So so under those circumstances, we learned in the Mishnah that he is entitled, the lessee is entitled to have the land by him for at least 2 years afterwards. It's going to be bought back by the owner. How is it going to be bought back by the owner? How are we going to figure out the purchase price? So again, that's very simple. This is not fixed rate. Fixed rate is only by redeeming a consecrated property. This is all done by prorating. In other words, we're going to figure out how many years we have till Yovel. We'll contract now the value of the land based on the number of years we have till Yovel. And then when I buy back the land, we'll just simply prorate based on the remaining years. That is what we learned yesterday in the Mishnah. Major machlokas came up in yesterday's daf. And that is, what if I sell the land in the Yovel year itself? So in the Yovel year itself, for sure, it's going to rebound back to the owner. That part's clear. Is the sale going to be a valid sale, or is it just going to simply be a voided sale? The machlokus amongst the Amoraim. Rav was of the opinion that the sale is mechura. The sale is a good sale. Viotza. And then what it does is it just simply rebounds back to the owner. So that means that the money has been transacted. But it goes back to the owner. Shmuel's of the opinion, ain't a mechura kol ikar. No, the sale is not good. The sale is voided. And sale does not take effect. Obviously then, well, I say obviously, you'll see that'll be our first discussion for today. But I'll say it right now anyway. Let's say it nice and clear. Obviously, then the money goes back to the buyer, right? The one who wanted to try to make the lease. So the money's going to go back to him because the sale is voided. So land goes back to the owner. Money goes back to the buyer. That seemingly is the position of Shmuel. That is the position of Shmuel. Although the Gemara is going to be discussing it right now. Amar Rav Anan. So now we get to pick it up right where we left off yesterday. So Shamis Menei Demar Shmuel Tarte. So I learned two halachas from Shmuel. So Charahach, one is the halacha that we just went over together, and Ve'idach Amocher Avdol Ovikochavim O Bechusaretz, and the other one regards the sale that a person sells his Eved Kenani, and he sells him either to an Ovikochavim or he sells him to somewhere outside of Eretz Yisrael to Chutzaretz. Now both of those, an Eved Kenani is chattel. You could sell your Eved Kenani, but what you did was highly inappropriate. Because as an Eved Kenani that was working for you in Eretz Yisrael, so now he's obligated mitzvahs. Not only is he obligated mitzvahs, but he's an obligated mitzvahs Eretz Yisrael. So that's extraordinarily exciting. And meanwhile, if you sell them either A to a guy, which means of course now that he's not going to be chayvin him any mitzvahs, or even if you sell them to a Jew outside of Eretz Yisrahl, so now you're diminishing the number of mitzvahs that he could do, and you're taking him outside of Eretz Yisrahl. So both of those are highly inappropriate. As a result of that, yetzal lecheres. As a knas, as a fine, so now the Eved Kenani is going to be able to go free. We will talk momentarily about writing a shtar cheres for the Eved Kenani, but in other words, the Eved Kenani goes free. That sale should not have occurred. Okay, and the Chachamim were very upset with that sale, and the Eved Kenani goes free. Okay, now, these are two cases. They're very similar in nature in that basically it's sales that shouldn't have happened. Sales that shouldn't have happened now, here's where Rav Anan says, I get a little bit stuck. Because, chada hadri zvini, v'chada lo hadri zvini. So in one of them, so the sale returns. In another one, the sale does not return. Meaning one of them is a totally voided sale, and the other one is not a totally voided sale, it's just an inappropriate sale. The money will be transacted, but nevertheless, the Eved Kenani is, well, I gave away the answer. But nevertheless, the sale price is still going to go through. Now, v'lo yadanu haminai. Now, at this point in time, I'm not sure which one's which. So, the sale of a land in the Yovel year, or the sale of a Neve Kanani to either a Goy or to somebody living outside of Eretz Yisrael. In both of those circumstances, it's not a good sale. It's just a question now of whether or not the money is to be returned to the buyer. And I don't know, says Rav Hanan, in which case the money is going to be returned to the buyer. At this point in time, it's a little bit difficult to even understand what he is in doubt about. Shmuel, when he first presented the halacha of the sale of a property in Yovel, Shmuel really couldn't have been any clearer. In fact, if you look back at the words of Shmuel, Shmuel Amar, Ein Mechur Kol Iker, the sale is not a good sale at all. So from the wording of Shmuel, it seems pretty clear that the sale of land in Yovel during the Yovel cycle, but specifically in the Yovel year, it sounds like from Shmuel it's totally voided. So truth of the matter is it's difficult to understand how we can even get that part confused. Furthermore, and Rashi makes a big point of this, furthermore, let's entertain for just a moment. The Gemara right now thinks that according to Shmuel, in the sale of a land in Yovel, so even though the sale is not a good sale, but the money remains now by the Mocher. Lokech loses his money. Now, under those circumstances, if that were correct, and it's not, but let's for a moment entertain that it is because the Gemara is entertaining it, what would then be the difference between Rav and Shmuel? Rav and Shmuel really look identical to one another, don't they? According to Rav, what happens to a sale of the Yovel, of a land in the Yovel year? So Rav's of the opinion that Mechura V'yotza. And it goes out. Now, according to Shmuel, in our Havamina, that we think Shmuel's basically making the same point, well, if he's making the same point, so then there'd be no difference between Rav and Shmuel. And Rav and Shmuel wouldn't even be having a Machlokas. What are they arguing about? This question really bothers Rashi. In fact, we're going to see the Rashi inside. Rashi writes, V'chad alo hajizvini, alo kech mafsir amos, v'lo yadan mehaiminao mekach bato. V'kasha. So Rashi now is bothered. Now, I already gave away the question, but we're going to see it inside in Rashi. Pshita. It's clear, even if we had any doubt whatsoever, but it's clear that Shmuel says that the money, in the case of the sale of property in Yovel, according to Shmuel, should go back. Because the imos avudim, if the money does not go back to the buyer, ma'ikabem Rav Shmuel. Well, what difference would there then be between Rav and Shmuel? They're making the same point, and meanwhile, we know they are arguing. So Rashi offers two really interesting answers. The Gemara says, even if we're right now, and even if we're saying that according to Shmuel, the money does not go back, there's still going to be a difference between Rav and Shmuel. Notably, so let's say, for example, number one is, again, all under the heading of assuming that Shmuel also says that the money doesn't go back, the difference between Rav and Shmuel would look like this. Let's say, during the period of the transaction, so what the buyer does is he cuts down trees. So, l'rav damar mechuri hi sada hadravi ilanas dekeitz ketz. So, according to Rav, okay, even though the land is going to return back to its original owner, but because of the fact that, according to Rav, it's a recognized sale, so consequently, if any trees are cut off during the interim, so then those trees are going to be belonging to the buyer. Now, admittedly, well, let me just finish the sentence of Rashi. And l'shmol damrei nemechura umas matana hadrei ilanos ve'afagav de lokech lo shakol zuzei. Meanwhile, according to Shmuel, because the sale is not registered as a sale, even though, again, we're entertaining the idea, even though the money is going to be staying by the seller, but still the sale is not going to be a recognized sale, and therefore the trees are going to have to go back to the owner. Now, this first approach of Rashi is admittedly a little bit difficult because in this entertainment that we're having right now, that according to Shmuel, the transaction is going to be valid for just a moment of time. I'm sorry, according to the idea that Rav, that the transaction is going to be good for a moment of time, what kind of moment are we talking about? Enough time to cut down trees. Meaning Rav's of the opinion that the sale is good, but according to Rav, the land goes out immediately. So, it's kind of hard to entertain, although we are entertaining right now, that there'd be some time in the middle for the buyer to cut down the trees. That's admittedly difficult. Inami Rashi also offers an alternative pshat. Kigon shemachri ima metaltalin v'hizik lokech bekarkos v'lo mashacha metaltalin. Rashi offers over here a beautiful nafkamina between Rav and Shmuel. Let's say we try to affect Kinyan Agav. We know what Kinyan Agav is. When I'm buying land and there are movables on the land. Now, when it comes to the purchasing of movables, So how do I make a transaction of movables? So the Gemara, the beginning of the Gemara Kedushin. So either Meshicha, sometimes Mesira, sometimes Hagba'ah. In other words, I have to physically manipulate the item in order to do a transaction on movables. How do I make a transaction on property? Money, document, proprietary act. Okay. So, but what if I make a transaction on both? This is what's called an halacha kinyan agav. That if I buy land and there are movables on the land, the transaction that that affects the sale of the land will also affect the sale of the movables as well. Beautiful. So now Rashi points out, this is going to highlight a big difference between Rav and Shmuel. So, first Rashi establishes, So L'Rav Damar Mechur V'Yotze. So according to Rav, that says that the sale is in fact a valid sale, but the land immediately rebounds back to the owner. Okay, but the sale was a good sale. The transaction was good. So V'Yotze Sada Hadra U'Metaltalin Miknu. So that means that even though the land is going to go back, but you made a kinyan on the metaltalin. However, L'Shmuel Damar Ein Mechura. But according to Shmuel, that the sale is not a valid sale. So then, great. Umaus matana, and the money is viewed as a gift. Lo miknu metatale the chazaka de karka lo havia chazaka. So then you were not able to affect the kinyan agav because the sale of the land, according to Shmuel, was not a sale at all. Okay, so the second nafkamina Rashi really easier to hear, easier to understand. First one somewhat more difficult, but in any event, what comes out now is that the Gemara is now for a moment entertaining the idea that we're unsure. Rav Hanan is not sure. In which case does the money return? In which case does the money not return?
Would he be allowed to cut the trees on the Yovel?
During the Yovel year, that's an excellent question. Excellent question. If it's a fruit producing tree, the answer would be no. But we could suggest that maybe it's a dry tree. It's a non-fruit producing tree. And then l'chora, the answer may be yes. The question's good. I'm Rav Yosef Nechze Anan. So Rav Yosef says, okay, I'm going to give you the answer midetanya based on the following braisa. Midetanya bi braisa. Hamocher avda b'chutzar tiyasal cheiros v'tzarech get shechra mi rabo sheni. A person sells his evikanani to chutzarets. So again, such an inappropriate sale. So therefore, what the Chachamim said is that the evikanani is going to go free immediately. However, he does need a shtar cheiros from his second owner. Now, in the braisa, what have we just identified? That the person who bought him is, in fact, an owner. Meaning the transaction went through, even though the evikanani is going to go free now, but still we recognize the sale. So, shmaminam edikarele l'sheni rabo amalo hajizvini. So you see that the transaction was a good transaction, assuming such. So that means now that the money is going to be staying by the seller and not going to be returned to the buyer. Now, process of elimination. Since in the case of the Evikanani, the money is going to stay by the seller. So in the case of the sale of land in the Yovel year, the money is not going to be staying by the seller, but rather the money is going to be returned back to the buyer. The Rav Hanan, Rav Yosef gave such a decisive answer, like end of discussion. So why didn't the Rav Hanan quote the Braisa? Did he not know the Braisa? And the Gemara says, that's right, he didn't know the Braisa. As we now turn to the top of Lama Damad Al, for Rav Hanan, Braisa lo Shmielei. He didn't know the Braisa. Udishmu mimai deinu mechura maus chozun dilma einu mechura umaus matana. So the Gemara says, okay, but let's for a moment now contemplate just a little bit more. I know we've been discussing a lot of this, but Shmuel says that the sale is not a valid sale, and Shmuel says that the money is going to return back to the buyer. The sale is voided. Fine. We have a conclusion in Shmuel. But the Gemara says, but you know what? We do have another case, similar, in which the money does not return, even though the transaction is not a valid transaction. Notably, a person tries to affect Kedushin to his sister. Now, of course, we all know. A sister is one of the Arayos in the Torah. We all agree that with an Erva, there's no Tfisas Kedushin. Kedushin does not take effect. So you go to your sister and say, Harei Ani Mekudeshes Li, and you give her kesef. So the kedushin does not take effect. Does she have to give you back the money? And this is a machlokas. Deidmar Mekadesh Achos Rav Amar Maos Chozun Shmuel Amar Maos Matana. Rav's of the opinion that the money returns because this was a voided transaction. It does not take effect, and therefore the money just simply returns. According to Shmuel, how do we view the money? We view the money as a matana. We view the money as a matana. Why should we view the money as matana? So Rashi says, the Rashi writes, Umaus Chozrim, Da'adam Yodea She'in Kedushin Tofsin Bachoso, Vigamar V'Nasan L'Shem Pikadon. So Rashi over here is explaining the opinion of Rav. So the money was just basically Pikadon, hold my money. Right. He said a nonsensical statement of, I want to be Mikashi with this money, but people know. Kedushin doesn't take effect. And so basically what the transaction was, it was nothing more than just simply, hey, hold my money for me. On the other hand, according to Shmuel, Gamar V'Nasan L'Shem Matana. According to Shmuel, however, what he was really trying to do was give his sister money. Now, I know if that's what his goal was, there's a really easy way to do it. Here. Here's some money for you. Okay, for whatever reasons, he did it in this very unusual way. But the way Shmuel views it is that the money is viewed as a matana. So, so at least we see that there is a circumstance where, although the transaction is voided, but the money remains by the recipient. So that's why, this is just more defense of Rav Hanan and his doubt. That's why Rav Hanan thought, you know what, over here, kind of the same thing. I'm selling a land in Yovel. What do you mean? It's nonsensical. It immediately is going to return back to the original owner. So that's why Rav Hanan thought for a moment that according to Shmuel, but maybe the money should stay by the seller. Anyway, we know it's not true. We know in the case of sale of land in the Yovel year that according to Shmuel, the sale is voided and the money is going to return back to the buyer. It's a kasha, but it's not. This one's easy because according to Rav, he recognizes the sale. The transaction is not voided, so therefore the money, of course, is going to remain by the seller. Over here, no transaction took place. It's right. Question. We are going to go back now to the case of the sale of an Eved Kenani, a very inappropriate sale. You sold them either to a guy, or you sold them to someone living outside of Eretz Yisrael. So the Chachamim were so unhappy with what you did, so therefore the Chachamim gave a Kenas. Who's now financially suffering? So it's going to be the buyer. The buyer is going to be financially suffering because he lost his money and now he's losing his Eved Kenani. The Gemara says, why should it be the buyer? In other words, look, the rabbis were offended by this transaction. Understandably. You made a transaction you shouldn't have made. Okay. But you know what? Why not impose a punitive fine on the seller? Why the buyer? It's a good question. So Amalei lav achbaraganav ela churaganav. So the Gemara tries to give an argument. The argument says that, look, what happens when the mouse comes along and steals the cheese? So what does he do? He runs into the hole. Who's to blame? Now, we all know what the answer is, but for a moment the Gemara is going to entertain that hole in the wall. That's really who's at fault. Because without that hole in the wall, we would have recovered our cheese. Of course. So, Ilav Achbara Churmenale, the counter-argument, which I know we all know. The counter-argument is, well, I know the hole can take some of the blame, but without the rat, so... No one, cheese would still be here as well. So, okay, so the Gemara says, this argument obviously is not going to really, as the expression goes, pass any mustard. I don't even know what that expression means. But it's not a strong argument. With the Gemara says, okay, we have to go with another argument. So the Gemara says, fine. So in other words, where's the Isser right now? Now, it's a funny way to describe the Eved Kenani, meaning he's not the Isser. But in other words, the transaction is the Isser. But still, where's the Eved Kenani right now? Right, who's holding the bag, so to say? So the buyer's holding the bag. He's the one right now who has purchased the Eved Kenani. He shouldn't have purchased the Eved Kenani. And I know the seller shouldn't have sold the Eved Kenani. I get it. It takes two to tango. I'm just full of expressions today. So I understand that. But what the Gemara says is that ultimately, when determining who's going to now have to be penalized, so the Chachamim said, well, it's going to be the buyer because right now the Eved Kenani is by the buyer. And so therefore, he's going to be the one who is financially going to have to suffer. He's going to lose his money and he's going to lose his Eved Kenani as well. Hovira ola lo nira mibaye. Gemara is a little bit bothered by the Mishnah. The Mishnah was making the following point. If it is either an act of God that we're not planting this year, so it doesn't count as one of the 2 years. Again, 2 year minimum where the owner cannot buy back his land. However, if one of those 2 years is either act of God, meaning it's a terrible year, no one's planting right now. No, nothing's growing right now. So that year doesn't count. Or as we learned back in the Mishnah, if it's a Shemitah year, or as we learned yesterday's daf, or even if it's a Yovel year, as long as the lease already started, so that year doesn't count as well. Fine. That part we get. However, the part that we don't get is on the other side. What did the Mishnah say? If it is just simply the fault and negligence of the lessee, under those circumstances, that does count as one of the years. The Mishnah gave two examples. Either Hovira, he was lazy. He didn't get up for work that year. Or Nira, or he plowed the land, but he didn't work it. Now, once you know the first example, like the second example is obvious. And that's the Gemara's question. So, Hashta Hovira Ololo, Nira Mibaye. So the Gemara says, Nira Yitzrichle. The second case is also necessary. Because maybe the argument can go like this. Maybe the lessee can say to the owner, look, I should have planted the land this year, obviously. And I didn't. And that's my fault. However, I invested money into the land. I plowed the land. And now as I return the land to you, you're going to be getting now a plowed land. Could at least you pay me for that? And that's an attempted argument. And the Gemara is basically teaching us that the Mishnah is dismissing that argument. And the dismissal makes a lot of sense. In other words, the owner says to the lessee, look, I leased you the land. And you were supposed to do something with it. You were supposed to plow it, but then, of course, you were supposed to plant and harvest. The fact that you didn't plant and you didn't harvest, I don't have to suffer that. It was your responsibility to take care of whatever you wanted to take care of during those years. And I'm not going to be paying any kind of investment expenditures that you put into the property. That's why you lease the property. Fine. Rabbi Eliezer Omer Machra Lo. And finally, the last part of the Mishnah, how you can get three crops on a 2 year lease. So Tanya Rabbi Lazar Omer Minayin Shein Machra Lo Lifnei Rosh Hashanah. Malea Perish Lo Yamalo. Hanach Lefanai Kederach Sheinach Lefanecha. You lease the land for 2 years. It happens to be that the owner had a field full of harvest, but the owner didn't harvest it. It's right before Rosh Hashanah. Fine. And so what the lessee does is that right before Rosh Hashanah, he harvests everything. And so now an attempted argument. Can the owner now say to the lessee, look, you already harvested 1 year, and next year, which is the end of your first year of the lease, you're going to harvest a second time? Okay. So do me a favor. Plant and let me harvest now at the end of the second year. You already got two harvests. And to that, Tamil Amar, the Torah says, no. No, the 2 year lease is a 2 year lease. When you lease a land for 2 years, yes, it's true that generally it's for two harvests, but if you happen to end up with a bonus crop, so that's yours. Because the 2 year lease is exactly that, a 2 year lease. So you're going to get that third harvest, even though it was only the end of the second year. Fine. Mishnah. We're on Lamed Amud Aleph. We are right in the middle of the Amud. We start the next Mishnah. Machra L'Rishon B'Mana. So now we're going to be talking about various differences in prices and how are we going to prorate based on which price. Gemara is going to give numerous examples. Even before we go through all the examples, the rule is going to be very simple. Whichever is going to be the lesser amount is going to be awarded to the owner, not to the one who leased. You'll see. Machal Rishon B'Mano and Machal Rishon L'Sheni B'Masayim. So the lease between the owner and the first renter is going to be at a price of a mana. And then a sublease. Now it's interesting, by the way, because in Halacha there is a significant debate whether or not if you're renting a house, can you then sublease it without the permission of the owner. And many look at our Mishnah, which our Mishnah seems to be perfectly fine with. It may not be a good comparison because we're talking over here not about houses and living in a house. We're talking about a field. Anyway, it could be different. And on top of that, we're talking about leasing an ancestral property. It could be different. Okay? So, but anyway, and now the one who rents it is now going to sublease it. And over here, the value of the field went up and he was able to fetch 200. He did pretty good for himself, the renter now. In any event, Ein mechashiv ela im arishon. Now, in terms of now the owner buying back his property, so which price is he going to be working with in terms of prorating? Either the 100, that was the first transaction, or 200, that's the second transaction. Tells us the Mishnah, the lesser of the two. The 100, not the 200. Shenamar Elisha Sher Machalo, Machra, I'm sorry, Elisha Sher Machalo. And the Torah says that, who does he deal with? The one who he sold it to. So the owner deals with the first person that he sold it to, that he leased it to, and since that price is at 100, so you're prorating based on the 100. However, let's flip it around. Let's say that the owner leased it to a person for 200. The price of the land significantly dropped, and in the sublease now, it was only subleased at 100. Now the owner, when buying back his property, can deal with the subtenant and not with the original tenant. Shenemar, v'chishev v'sheim im karo, v'heshev es ha'odesh le'ish asher besocho. The person who is currently occupying it right now. Since the person currently occupying it right now is leasing it at a rate of 100, even though the original rent was for 200, so he gets to deal with him. Basically, what we have in the psukim is a little bit of ambiguity. Meaning, who does the owner have to deal with? The first renter or the sub-renter? So we have psukim that can go in either direction. And what we have clearly done here in the Mishnah is that we've worked it so that it always is going to benefit the owner. The question, why are we always going to be benefiting the owner? Stay tuned, where the Gemara is going to answer that. Lo yimkar b'rachav yigal b'karov. Now, in terms of buying back your property, so there are, it's heavily regulated in terms of buying back your property. For example, let's say you want to sell a property that's far away in order to buy back a property that's close by. No good. Let's say you want to sell off a poor and inferior quality property in order to buy back your superior quality property. Also no good. You also can't borrow in order to buy back your property. And also, when buying back your property, you cannot do so in parcels. You have to buy it back in total. Okay, so these are all the rules of when you buy back your property, you have to follow all these regulations. Now, when it comes to hekdesh, everything we said you can't do by a sale, you can do when redeeming back property from the Bedek Habayis. Now, the obvious reason why we're going to be lenient regarding the Steachuza is because, remember, if you don't redeem it, what's going to happen? What's going to happen is you're going to lose it forever. Your family's going to lose it forever. That's a svara. But the Mishnah clearly articulates that all these regulations do not apply when redeeming your land from hekdesh. Zechomer mebehedger shebehekdesh. And so now what we just learned together is that there are chumras when you're transacting between you and somebody else versus when the transaction is between you and the Beis Hamikdash. Meaning typically, where does the chumras go? Chumras head in the direction of hekdesh, not of that of a hedjot. But for reasons we said already, so we're going to be more machmir when it comes to buying back the land from a hedjot as opposed to buying back the land from hekdesh. Tanur Rabban, the Gemara quotes the Brayis Amachur, L'Rishon Ben Manu Machur, L'Rishon L'Sheni Ben Masai, Minayin Sheni Mechashev, Elayim Rishon Tamalam Elisha, Sher Machalo. Okay, the Brayis is going to sound exactly like our Mishnah because it is. Machur, L'Rishon Ben Masai, Machur, L'Rishon L'Sheni Ben Manu, Minayin Sheni Mechashev, Elayim Sheni, Tamalam Elish, L'Isha Sher Besocho, Divrei Rebbe. So our position of our Mishnah follows that of Rabbi Yehuda Anasi. Rabbi Yehuda Anasi, of course, is responsible for editing the Mishnah, but that doesn't mean, as we said so many times, that the positions that are espoused in the Mishnah are necessarily following like the viewpoint of Rabbi. In this case, it is. It's following the viewpoint of Rabbi. Rabbi Dusai ben Yehuda Omer. Now, Rabbi Dusai ben Yehuda is seemingly going to argue, but as I read Rabbi Dusai ben Yehuda, you're going to see it's going to sound awfully similar. There is going to be a subtle difference, there has to be, because the way the Bryce is presenting it like a machlokas. Rabbi Dusai ben Yehuda Amar Machur lo b'mana. You sold the land at 100. And again, I say sale, you understand it's lease. Machur lo b'mana v'hishbicha v'amda masayin. And then what happened is appreciation of the land. The land just went up in value, shot up in value to 200. Minayin. She'ena mechashiv ela b'mana. So here there was no second transaction, just simply an improvement in the land and an appreciation in price. So now, at which rate are you going to be prorating? At the current rate of 200 or at the original transacted price of 100? So the answer is 100. Shenemar v'heshev ha'odesh ha'odesh b'yado. and the calculation is going to be based on the remainder. Remainder of what? Of the money that is currently in your hand. Meaning whatever that transacted money was, that's what you're going to be working with. But in the other direction where the transacted price was at 200, and now the land seriously depreciated in value, where now it only stands at 100. So here now, when the owner goes and buys back his property, he's going to be prorating based on which price? Its current value. Where here we're going to be working with whatever's remaining in the land of its current value. Okay, and as I pointed out, this sounds awfully similar. Rav Dustai ben Yehuda sounds like he's saying exactly what Rebbe's saying. In that, we're always going to be working in favor of the owner. So, is there a difference between the positions of Rav Dustai ben Yehuda and Rebbe? There has to be. Because the way it's being presented to us, it's a machlokas. Even though at face value, doesn't seem to be much of a difference. My Beinayu, the Gemara points out, there's going to be a difference. The Yaker, the Zal, the Iyaker. What happened was the land was at 200. Then it shortly thereafter depreciated. And shortly thereafter re-appreciated. So it went 200, 100, 200. So under those circumstances, explains Rashi. Kigon Diyaker, Vizal, Viyaker, Shemachru lo b'masayim, O machru rishon l'sheni b'mane, V'nis Yaker b'yad ha'sheni, V'amda masayim. So over here, two things. In other words, it was a lease, sublease, and also fluctuated in price. So when it was transacted from the owner to the first leasee, it was at 200. Then when transacted a second time, it was subleased. So at that point in time, it depreciated to the point where it's 100. Then while in the hand of the subleaser, so then it went back up to 200. Now, how is everyone going to fall on this case? Rashi goes on to explain. So as far as Rebbe's concerned, we're going to be looking at the transacted price. Since the transacted price between the first renter and the second renter is 100, we work with 100. But Rebbe Dustai, Yav Masayim. According to Rebbe Dustai, however, it's going to be 200. Why? Because Iyamart Odev Shibiyado Shavya. Because if we're looking at the balance, well, what's the balance? The balance in terms of the owner's concern, he sold it at 200, he leased it at 200. If we're talking about the balance of the land is currently at 200. So if we're looking at, if it's a question of balances, so it's going to be 200 either way. So that would be a scenario, limited as it may be, in which they would clearly reflect the difference between Rebbe versus Rebbe Dustai ben Yehuda. Umimai de lekula adem lechumra. And now the question we've all been waiting for. So here we basically have an ambiguity in Pesukim. And because of the ambiguity, we're able to go in two directions. And what we're going to do is we're going to go in both directions. And we're always going to work in favor of the owner. Why? Why are we always working in favor of the owner? We could have done it the other way around. We could have expressed that ambiguity and work always in favor of the renter, the leasing. Lo sagadacha. So the Gemara says, I'll tell you why. The Gemara, geula geula mi'evet ivri. Because we're going to base it on a gzera shava. The Torah uses the term ge'ula when talking about buying back your property. The Torah also uses the term of ge'ula when redeeming an Eved Ivri. And so by Eved Ivri, we're going to be Mekel. Here we're going to be Mekel as well. Now the Gemara wants to know, how do I know I'm going to be Mekel regarding the Eved Ivri? So the Gemara says, I'll tell you how I know that. Detanya based on the following brisa. Nimkar b'mana. Our Eved Ivri was sold at 100. V'hishbiach v'amad amasayim. And then he went up in value. 200. Let's say he took much better care of himself, right? Dieted, worked out. Okay, now it's at 200. Okay, in any event, or maybe the market prices fluctuated. Whatever the case is, so sold at 100, then went up to 200. Now, in terms of the buyout of our Eved Ivri, so how do I know that we're going to be working with the cheaper price, which will make it easier for him to buy himself out, or have a family member come and help him out. So the Torah says, Kesef miknaso. We're going to be working with the transacted price. On the other hand, let's say at the sale time, at the transaction of the Eved Ivri was 200. And then he went down in value to 100. So here, 100 is going to be the rate we're going to use in terms of buying out his contract. Shenemar kefi shanav, because the Torah says based on the years remaining and at his current value. Now, if this our Eved Ivri was sold to a non-Jew, certainly I understand. But what if he was sold to a Jew? How do I know that I'm still going to be makel in favor of the Eved Ivri? So here we also have Gzeira Shava that tells us that we're going to be makel for the Eved Ivri, even if the buyer happens to be another Jew. Amar Abaye.
Transactions. In our case here, there's three. There's a sublease.
Okay, but understood. But the point is that there's an ambiguity in the psukim where there are two ways that we can calculate, and in the two ways we're going to calculate, we're going to always find favor to in the case of the Eved Ivri, the Eved Ivri. In the case of the sale of the land, the seller of the land, the original owner. Hareini keben azai. Let's start again. Amar Abaye. Hareinika ben Azai b'shuka Tveria. I'm like Ben Azai in the markets of Tveria. Okay, this is an expression we've heard before. All right, Abaye has been quoted as saying this more than once in Shas. And the basic idea over here is that right now today, I woke up and I have I'm clear in mind. Okay, I can think today. Baruch Hashem. I do understand. So and he compares himself to Ben Azai. All right, Rashi over here. Quotes the Gemara that we saw back in Bechoros not that long ago. Ben Azai Omer Kol Chachmei Yisrael Lefanei Kiklipas Hashem. Ben Azai notes that he had clarity all the time. In fact, he had such clarity of thought that he compared all the Chachamim to him like the peels of garlic. Okay, an expression. Bechoros, did I explain the expression any better than I'm doing so right now? I don't think so, but and regardless. The idea is that Ben Azai always had clarity of thought. Abaye says, look, I cannot think as clearly as Ben Azai, but today's a good day. It's a clear day for me. So Amar Le Haumi Rabban La Abaye. So now Abaye basically is saying, I'm ready. I'm ready to think. I'm ready to explain. I'm going to articulate everything clearly today. Let's go. So Chacham comes over to Abaye. Ikalim Ejushin L'kulav Ikalim Ejushin L'chumra. Mimayda L'kula Ema L'chumra. And so now the question on the table. Our Eved Ivri, we're always going to calculate in the favor of the Eved Ivri. But now why? Again, we have an ambiguity in Pesukim. We can go either Lekula for the Eved Ivri in either direction, whether the sale price is less or his current value is less, but we're always going to work in favor of the Eved Ivri. Why not go in the other direction? Why not simply say that we're going to be Machmir towards the Eved Ivri? And so why should that be? So Lo Sakadaka, Mida'aka Rachman Agabei Detanya. So Abaye says, oh, I'll tell you why. The Torah is lenient with our Eved Ivri. We should be as well. The time we learned on the Brisa Kitov Lo Imach, Imach Memaichel, Imach Memishta. The Torah says that when it comes to the Eved Ivri, so you got to be really good to him. Food-wise, drink-wise, Shalotei Ochel Pas Nekiva, Hu Ochel Pas Kebar. Right, coming out of the kitchen are two breads. One, really good. The other one, or they didn't come out today, came out a week ago. Mm-hmm. So under those circumstances, so you know what, Wooly good and the Eved Ivri, give him last week's bread. No, you can't say that. Right? Ata shosei yain yashem v'hu shosei yain chadash. For us, get out the good wine. For the Eved Ivri, right, give him the cheap stuff. So, achas yashen agabi muchin v'hu yashen agabi karka. Right? I got a comfortable bed and a not so comfortable bed. I'll sleep on the comfortable one. My Eved Ivri will sleep on the not so comfortable one. All this does not is unacceptable. Mikan amru akona eved ivri mikakona adon latzmo. When you go and indenture an eved ivri to work for you, so it's like you're basically acquiring a master. You have to take care of him better than you take care of yourself. Abaye says, so now that we know that the Torah wants us to care for him even more than for yourself, so if there's an ambiguity in the psukim in terms of how to redeem them, so clearly, we're going to favor him as opposed to you. That's Abaye's answer. It's a good answer. Adarabba, but push back on the answer. We can go in the other direction. Nachmir alemi de Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Chanina. We could be machmir based on what we learned through Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Chanina. Da'am Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Chanina. Bar A. Kamakasha Avka Shol Shavias. Let's take a look at what happens when a person thinks to himself, you know what, Shemitah year, profit opportunity. Illegal profit opportunity, but profit opportunity. During the Shemitah year, so you cannot do any commercial activity with produce of the Shemitah year. You can eat it, but you can't do commercial activity, and you can't profit on it. And meanwhile, someone thinks to himself, you know what? Let me turn a dollar, and I will buy and sell Shemitah produce. So what he did was wrong. And mitzvah gereres mitzvah, avera gereres avera. So one bad thing leads to another. Adam nosim v'nosim beperish v'yis l'sof mocher es metautalin. And not only that, but mida keneged mida, measure for measure. Kadosh Baruch Hu now is going to put this person in a financial precarious situation. You try to turn profit illegally, Kadosh Baruch Hu says to him, you're going to be in such financial straits that you're going to have to sell off your movables. Now, Shenemar b'shnas yova azos tashuvi ish l'chus asok, sifi chisim kru memkar l'misecha, o kano miyad amitecha, davar kono miyad liyad. And basically what we're doing is the following. We're basically going through the beginning of Parshas Bahar, and we're noting how the Torah talks about various transactions. But the Gemara over here is darshaning beautifully, meaning that these various transactions are really reciprocity towards the person who acted in this manner, in which he's trying to turn a profit illegally. And now with every transaction that's being described in Parshas Bahar, we're going now sequentially through the 25th parak of Vayikra. We're going to see that all these are really an onish for this person. Number one, selling off his movables. Lo hir gishlus of mochers dosav. Now, if at this point in time he doesn't realize that this is an onish and it's for behaving financially inappropriately, so now Kadosh Baruch Hu is going to turn the screws. He's going to be selling off his properties. Shenemar v'chi amuch echicho macher me'achuz aso. Okay, so again, we're just now following down Parshas Bahar. Next thing he's doing is selling off his properties. Lo bat liyado l'sof mochers beso. Now he's going to be selling his house. Shenemar v'ishkim kor bayis moshav ir chama. Now the Gemara pauses in the middle of this discussion to make the following observation. Previously we said that he didn't feel it. Here in the selling of the house, it says lo bas liyado. Didn't even know. So it reminds us of the teaching of Rav Huna. A person does an avera the first time. He has a little bit of a guilty conscience. Second time he does the avera, mutter. Now mutter does not mean it's mutter. In fact, the Gemara immediately clarifies. After having done the Avera the first time, so the repeating of the Avera loses the guilty conscience. It's like to him, it's like, oh, it's not a big deal. I do this all the time, it's fine. Why? Because I've been doing this all this time. It must be fine. Now, let's skip the parentheses. Lobas liado, achemoche esbito. And again, the person is continuing in his illicit behavior. Because he doesn't recognize that he's had to sell his movables and his property and his house, and he doesn't realize all this is basically a tap on the shoulder from a Kadosh Baruch Hu, right? It's time to wake up. It's time to improve. And he's still not getting it. Next step, he's going to be selling his daughter. Shenemar v'chim kor ishes bitola ama. Now, the Gemara notes, that's Parshas Mishpatim. That's much earlier in the Torah. So what just happened over here? We were going down the Pesukim in Parshas Bahar, and now we took a detour over here to Parshas Mishpatim. So the Gemara says now, and the Gemara recognizes this. The Gemara says that we know that right now is a perfect time to interject the sale of the daughter. Because what's coming up now is that borrowing with interest. So if the choices are, should I sell my daughter, should I borrow with interest? So a person, the financial decision is that he's going to sell his daughter. Selling your daughter is a financially better decision. Just from a financial standpoint, because when you sell your daughter, so what's going to happen every year as she works is that it's going to be deducted off, her services will deduct from the sale price. So that means to say that eventually when you do buy her back, or again, there's a yid possibility, but when you do buy her back, so it's going to be less than what you originally sold for. On the other hand, if you borrow with interest, so interest keeps accruing. And it's just going to keep biting you harder and harder. So we know at this point in time, it's financially proper to put in the sale of the daughter right here. Now you're going to end up selling yourself. Then what's going to end up happening is that you're going to have to sell yourself into indentured servitude. Lo lach ela leger. And not only are you going to be selling yourself to another Jew, but even a ger, shenemar leger, velo leger tzedek. We're not talking about a full-fledged convert, el leger toshav. We're talking about the ger toshav, as we discussed in yesterday's daf. Somebody who is a resident alien in Eretz Yisrael accepts upon himself not to be over to Avodah Zarah in Eretz Yisrael, but still, he's not a Jew. Shenemar leger toshav, mishpachas ger, zu ovik kochavim. Furthermore, Torah goes on to say that he will even be sold to a guy. Furthermore, kishu omer o le'eker, you're going to be put into such a bad situation that you're going to be even sold to an idolater, meaning not just a non-Jew, an idolater. And you're going to be helping him in the service of Avodah Zarah, all because you didn't wake up and smell the coffee. So, where does all this bring us to? The following. The Gemara's question was, how do we know we should be make up by the Avodah Ivri? Do you know why he's in this position? Because of his poor life decisions. And all this was onus from HaKadosh Baruch Hu because he made really wrong financial decisions, behaving in financially illicit matters, is being shooken by HaKadosh Baruch Hu again and again, and he is just being more and more obstinate and difficult. And now you want to tell me that in terms of calculating how much he has to buy himself for back, we're going to be lenient regarding this person? That's the Gemara's question. Answer? Amrle ha hajre krav. The Gemara gives a beautiful and profound answer, and that is yes. He made terrible life decisions, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu punished him and keep punishing him. But in terms of giving an ability to redeem himself, we're always going to be makel in terms of redeeming himself. Once he buys himself out of all this, so now he's back full fledged status. And the Gemara has a beautiful teaching of Rabbi Yishmael. And just because somebody went off the derech, so what does that mean? We should throw stones on top of him? Of course not. In terms of buying him back, in terms of redeeming him, and I mean that both literally and figuratively, so do everything within your power. And the Torah is going to do everything within its power as well, i.e., if there's a discrepancy of how to buy him back with either a lower price or a higher price, and there's an ambiguity in the psukim, we're always going to be lenient in his direction. Tamalamar, the pasuk that's quoted in our Gemara, Geulas Olam Tielo, Uviyova Yatsa, right? The citation of the pasuk probably needs to be changed. If I can find it quickly, it's Osyud. I can't find it quickly, sorry. Okay. Lengthy discussion of what should be the proper girsa. Ema Gula Tielo. Skip the parentheses. That's the best route right now. Gula tielo. In other words, don't let him continue to be submerged in the current condition that he's in. Ula olam le'inyan pidjo nachmer. Ula olam le'inyan pidjo nachmer. So the Gemara says, I'll still push back. Meaning, maybe we should try our best to redeem him, but in terms of the redemptive price, maybe the Torah should be machmer. So Rav Nachman Yitzchak gives a different answer in terms of how we know that we should always be lenient in his regard, in terms of the lesser of the two prices. One pasuk says, im od rabos b'shanim, if there are a lot of years remaining, or if there are a few years remaining. Now, you know how long a year is? Now it's a constant. I know that's not totally true, but it's basically that it's the same every year. So Elan is Rabba Kaspo Mikasim Mignason is Ma Kaspo Kafishanov. And so basically what we're gonna say is that in Miss Rabba Kaspo, if his price appreciated, so Kesim Mignason. So then we're gonna go with the original lesser transacted price. If his price diminished, Kafishanov. To which it's a funny answer, by the way, because it doesn't really resolve why we're always gonna be lenient. It just simply tells us an ambiguity in the Psukim. So quite frankly, a little bit difficult to understand how this answer was any better than the previous answer. The Gemara says, you know, you're giving such a complicated pshat in these psukim. Can't you give a really easy pshat in these psukim? Notably, if there's a lot of years remaining, so then his buyout is going to be based on the many years remaining. If there are only few years remaining, his buyout is going to be based on the few years remaining. Can't you explain the pasuk in that manner? A really simple way to explain the psukim. Im kein nichtov im od raboshanim. My bishanim. So the Gemara says, if the Torah said, just simply said, im od raboshanim, I'd agree with you. But it says, im od rabos bashanim. in the year. So it must mean that there is discrepancy in the price. Nisra b'kaspa b'shanim mikesa miknaso, nisma kaspa b'shanim kefi shanav. So that's what the Torah is speaking to, the idea of fluctuation in price. And again, if there's a fluctuation in price, we're always going to redeem him based on the lesser of the two, either the transacted price or his current value, whichever is the lesser of the two. I'm Rav Yosef Darshina Rav Nachman Lahani Krai Kasinai. Rav Yosef says that Rav Nachman, he darshins the psukim beautifully, like we got them at Har Sinai. Lo yimkor berachok minani mili. Now, in terms of buying back your land, a lot of regulations. What you cannot do is you cannot sell off a land far away in order to buy back a land that's close by. Tanur Rabbanu v'hisigi ado yad atzmo shelo yilave v'yigael. The Gemara quotes the Jerusha. The Torah says that he must have the money on hand. He cannot borrow in order to buy back the land. Furthermore, if let's say he has to sell off lands far away in order to buy back lands that's close to him, can't do that as well. It has to be umatsa, meaning that you have the money currently on hand and you can't just simply manufacture the money, generate the money by selling off one of your other properties. So, v'igal b'karov. B'ra v'igal b'yafe. Similarly, you can't sell off one of your bad lands in order to redeem your good lands. And in terms of redemption, you have to redeem the property in total. And you cannot redeem it in parcels. Now, we're saying the word umatsa means that you have to have the money currently at hand. And you can't manufacture the money, either by selling off some of your other properties or by borrowing the money. But rather, you have to have the money currently on hand. The Gemara says, Uraminu. The Gemara says, okay, but I'll show you another area in halacha where the word umatsa means previously. Originally, where? By somebody who kills inadvertently. If let's say you throw a stone and you kill somebody unintentionally, right? A rotsech b'shogeg. But here's how it happened. You first threw the stone. You didn't even know the person was there. And then the person puts his head out. And now it hits him. That's not even rotsech b'shogeg. And under those circumstances, you're not chayv galos. You don't have to be sent into exile to the Ir Miklat. Because the Torah says, umatsa comes to tell us that he had to have been there, the victim had to have been there originally. You see the word matzah means originally. Not like we're translating it right now, currently. Ama matzah mi didi isi mi karim ashma. Ama Rava says, yes, there's a discrepancy, but the reason why there's a discrepancy is because you must look at the context of the psukim in order to properly define terms. So, when we talk about the buying back of your land, so there, we know the word mean matzah means now. You currently have the money now. Much like hisiga yado means that you currently have it right now. As opposed to the forest, where that's where the Torah puts contextually where the manslaughter occurred, and that is my ya'ar milsa di isem ikara af matzah milsa di isem ikara. Now the nature of a forest is that it's been there. The nature of the victim is he was there, meaning you knew he was there. You should have been more careful. You weren't more careful. Under those circumstances, that is ritzicha b'shogeg, and therefore you're going to have to go into galus. But if you threw the stone, and only after you threw the stone, now he pops out his head. Under those circumstances, that's not even Ritzicha B'shogeg. Good. So context. Context will be the determinant. Okay. We'll stop over here. I know we have a little bit to finish to the Mishnah. We'll stop over here. Quick recap. Our discussion today revolved around when Shmuel says that the transaction of the sale of a land in Yovel is a non-transaction. Does that mean the money goes back? Although Rav Hanan had a suffolk, the conclusion is, according to Shmuel, the money does go back. The sale is voided in total, and so therefore the money returns back to the buyer. A review of the halachas of Shnashi Dafon, where they don't count towards the two-year minimum, your laziness does count towards the two-year minimum, and we discussed that very briefly. It's possible a two-year lease will result in three crops. We discussed that as well. And then we talked about when leasing a property and there's a fluctuation in price, either he subleases it and he does so at a different price, or just simple appreciation, depreciation of price. If there is any kind of fluctuation in price, so how do you figure the prorated rate? So So it's going to be based on whatever the lesser of the two is in favor of the mocher, in favor of the seller. How do I know that? Based on Gzeir Shav from Eved Ivri. And the Amud Beis spent almost all of its time discussing how do we know by the Eved Ivri that we're going to be makel in favor of the Eved Ivri, so that if there's any fluctuation of price, his buyout is going to be based on the lesser of the two, either the transacted price or his current value, whichever is the lesser of the two. So the Gemara went through a lengthy discussion in terms of how we know that we're always going to be makel in favor of the Eved Ivri. And then finally, our last point that we discussed today was the regulations of buying back your property that you leased out, in that you have to have the money on hand. You can't manufacture the money, not through the sale of another property, not through the borrowing of money. You can't buy it back in parcels. So all these regulations, and the Gemara deduced them from Pesukim. And finally, how do I know the word matzah means that you currently have the money? So we based it on the context of the Pesukim.